And I believe it's a cry, but it does. Amen. Let's run over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I see the Lord asked for us this morning. And you do pray for me also, because at 2 o'clock, I'll be over at Black Oak Baptist Church, just right around the corner from here. And I'll be singing and preaching over there for them, for their God and Country Day. So you pray for me. I'll be doing that at 2 o'clock. We'll be back here at 6. Amen. Amen. So, hallelujah. Amen. My Lord, come by here. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Oh, Lord, come by here. Somebody needs the Lord. Come by here. Somebody need your Lord, please come by here. Somebody needs your Lord, come by here. Oh Lord, come by here. Somebody's praying, Lord, come by here. Somebody's praying, Lord. Please come by here. Somebody's praying, Lord. Come by here. Oh, Lord. Come by here. Oh, Lord. Come by here. Oh, Lord. Come by here. Let's all stand as we read from 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, and we'll see what the Lord has for us this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is a good passage of Scripture, and I believe it will help us today. Just a few thoughts, and then we'll go and get some riffs from somewhere. Amen. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll read verse 3 and 4, then we'll pray. The Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh..." Hallelujah. "We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our," that's interesting, "our," meaning this thing alone, "warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." I want to talk very briefly this morning, this little thought, freedom from strongholds. Freedom from strongholds. Father, I need your help. There's no way that I'll be able to preach this message without your presence and your power. So I ask God to clean my vessel thoroughly. I pray God to scrub my mind completely. And I pray God to guide my tongue and my speech and my actions. I pray God to help me to preach your word with fresh power, a fresh anointing, a fresh touch from you. And for that, Father, I personally shout hallelujah. I pray, God, also for each one that's gathered here this morning. They could have been anywhere else, Father, in this country, but they chose to be here this morning to worship you, but also, God, to hear from your precious word. And I pray, God, that you would continue to help us. Matter of fact, you've already been doing it through the songs that have been sung and through the worship already. But I pray, God, that you continue. Then I also pray, God, to challenge us in that particular area of our life that we need to be challenged, but also need to be helped. And with that, God will shout hallelujah. And of course, I pray for those who are watching live streaming, those who are watching later. I pray, God, to bless them and draw them a little closer, God, to you. And of course, if there's anyone here or watching that doesn't know Jesus as Savior, King, Lord, Master, Messiah, I pray, God, that this will be that day they embrace the one who died upon the cross to give them the ultimate freedom, the ultimate liberty. And that, of course, is from the penalty of sin. And yes, sir, the power of sin. And one day, the presence of sin. And for that, God will thank you. That's about it for now, Master. If I've left anything out, please meet that need as well. Of course, in your son's name we pray. Not weak, Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Freedom from strongholds. our country was founded on freedom. Amen. We had a stronghold over us from another country, the British. Amen. But we decided we were going to declare independence from those who were oppressing us, primarily with taxes and a whole list of other things. But we declared our independence. And our mind is just going to a place here. Where's that preacher? You and I need to declare our independence from this old nature, amen. Our independence from Satan, who's trying to continue to bind us and hold us and bruise us and beat us and to demolish us and destroy us with every ounce that he has. The question is this: will we declare our independence? What do you mean by that, preacher? Anybody can say, I'm independent. Anybody can say, I'm free. But what's going to happen is this. That's going to be placed or put to the test. When our country said, we declare our independence, it wasn't like England said, okay. That's not what happened. No, my dear friends. They sent reinforcements into this country to try to break what they call the rebellion, to break those who were trying to revolt against them. And by the same nature, the same way, in other words, the enemy does the same thing. When you and I decide, you know what? I want to turn my life around. I'm giving my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm giving my life over to the Master. I'm declaring my independence from the enemy that has bound me for so long. He doesn't say, okay. He sends reinforcements. And you've heard, as our brother Mike Kelly preached last Tuesday, my soul, we'll come to the altars and we'll pray and we'll make commitments, we'll make vows. And before we get to the parking lot, we've already broke them. Amen. Why? Because the enemy, my friends, is real. And the enemy will do his best to hinder you and I from being independent, my friends, of his clutches, his hands, or his grasp. But I'm glad to report this morning that the Bible teaches us that we can have freedom from the strongholds that the enemy uses to try to hinder us. That word freedom means the state of being free or at liberty, rather than in confinement or under physical restraint. Let me read that again. The state of being free or at liberty rather than in confinement or under physical restraint. In other words, that which is trying to hold you, or that which is trying to stop you from going forward, whatever that might be. It may be wrapped around you. It may be holding you. But what happens is this. When you are free from those restraints, that means you no longer have them. That means they're no longer there. But some of us have declared our freedom. Some of us have declared our liberty, but we're still walking around in restraints. And when you've got restraints, my friends, it's hard to worship. It's hard to serve. It's hard, my dear friends, to do whatever God would have us to do because of those restraints, because of those strongholds that the enemy has placed upon us. But hallelujah, the Bible teaches us that you and I can have freedom. You and I can have independence. Matter of fact, the synonyms for the word freedom are independence, abandonment, I like this, elbow room, liberty, opportunity, unrestraint. That word elbow room just stuck out to my mind. You ever been out to eat and you ain't got no elbow room? I mean, it's like they're pressing in on you. It's like, man, I can't get no. I mean, it's just like, come for a minute, Stevie. Come up for a minute, Brother Kirby. It's like this. You're sitting there, and you got your nice big old slab of ribs there, and it's time to eat, and you can't even cut. You're like, man, I need some room. I can't grab a hold of my stuff. I mean, y'all crowding me. Well, that's what the enemy does. The enemy is crowding us. We're trying to move forward for God, or trying to go. It's like, man, they just got me. They got me boxed in. I need me some elbow room.
And when God gives us elbow room, then guess what? Now you're free to eat as much as you want on your plate. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now watch this. The antonym for independence, the opposite is captivity, confinement, imprisonment, incarceration, slavery. I wonder what has us a slave this morning. I wonder what has our life in slavery. I ain't no slave. I'm free. Are you really? If I was to name a particular person's name, would you find yourself back in bondage? If I was to name a particular situation, would you find yourself back in bondage? See, once you've been freed, my friends, been naked, you can, oh my, what that name is or what that situation is, you're free from that. But if we can bring that incident up and you find yourself locking down, you know, for example, you'll be around a bunch of folks laughing and hee-hawing. And then they say, John. Then there you go. Your whole demeanor has changed. Your whole countenance has changed. What that means, my dear friends, is we're still in slavery. Now, in this case, it might be in the area of unforgiveness. It still has us in bondage. Because, see, forgiveness is, look up the word. Part of the definition is to let loose. When you let something loose, my friends, that means it is what? It's free. But a lot of us haven't let some things loose. But perhaps this might be that morning when these things, this afternoon, when these things get loose. I was doing some reading and one person put it like this. We have an enemy that wants to not only to distract us, but also to disarm us, also to disable us, and then to destroy us. I said, man, that's good. Because is that not true? The enemy, my dear friends, wants to distract us. And once you're distracted, if y'all remember, we did the Army of the Lord, and Stevie was one of the recruits that we had, and they had their weapon, and then we had two young ladies to come up, and they were talking about how handsome they were, and all this kind of stuff, you know, and they got distracted, and the next thing you know, that distraction went to what? Disarmament. They disarmed them, took their weapons. And then when they took their weapons, my dear friends, they were now disabled. They couldn't use his weapons to fight against them. And then what happened was this. They began to shoot them with their own weapons to do what? To destroy them. That's the same tactics the enemy is using against us every day. But I want to give you four things and we're done. The first thing is this. The war for freedom. If you want freedom, it's going to be a war. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So right away, my friends, you see there is a war for freedom. If you want freedom, there's going to be a fight. Whoever has a hold of your mind, if you want victory over it, you got to fight. If you think it's just going to go away and disappear, that's not going to happen. That person ain't going to disappear. Unless you commit murder or something. Don't do that. Amen. Hallelujah. But nonetheless, they're not going to just go away like that. There's going to be a war. There's going to be a battle. But nobody says, my dear friends, for though we walk in the flesh. That word flesh there means bodily. To walk means to live, to turn around. We turn around in this body. But notice what he says. We do not war. We do not contend after the flesh. And that word contend here also means this. The word war here also means to contend. It also means a military campaign. Now, if you have a military campaign, that means it's not a one day's battle. It's a campaign. In other words, it's going to be a lengthy battle. I can't tell you how long, but it's going to be a lengthy battle. And the Bible says, though, that we are not warring. We're not contending with flesh. We're not using our flesh to try to win this victory. Yes, we're in the flesh. And some of us are proud of it. You know, what do you mean by that person? Well, it's my flesh. You know, I had one person tell me one time, said, if it wasn't for my flesh, Or no, they use this word. If it wasn't for that sin. That sin. It was almost like the sin was over here and they was over here, but that sin keeps bothering them. If it wasn't for that sin, wait a minute. That sin ain't over here. That sin is in here. It's called a sin nature. And all of us have a sin nature. And if you think you don't have a sin nature, you've just deceived yourself. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. The Bible goes on to say, if we say that we have not sinned, then we have called him a what? A liar. But we have a sin nature. But that's why we can't use our sin nature. Think about this. You're going to use your nature to fight your nature. That's crazy stuff there. That's like somebody that's got a whole bunch of stuff going on in their brain, a lot of different people up in there. And you're trying to fight yourself? Yourself going to fight yourself. Here you go. Some people, and that's my fact, that's what some people used to do when they would try to do penance and all that kind of stuff and climb the stairs on their knees and they would whip themselves. What were they trying to do? They were trying to beat that flesh. With the flesh. It don't work that way. But one thing is for sure, my dear friends, if you and I want freedom, there's going to be a war. Secondly, we see the weapons of freedom. The Bible says in verse number 4, for the weapons, or the armor, the tool, the utensil of our warfare, our military service, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we see, my dear friends, we have to war for freedom, but the weapons of our freedom, as I said earlier, are spiritual weapons. They are not fleshly weapons. And the word weapons, like I said, means armor, tool, or utensil. Whatever you're fighting with is spiritual. That's why we did the pledge for the Bible. The Bible is the sword of the Spirit. That's how we fight the enemy. And then the Bible says that we take the shield of faith. And when you take the shield of faith, you had to pull this out today. Amen. Hallelujah. You got your shield. But you know what you fight with? You don't fight with this sword. This is a physical sword. You don't fight with this kind of sword. The sword you fight with is this sword right here. See, the Bible says the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So you take your shield of faith, and we'll pretend like this is the shield of faith. And that, of course, is also an invisible shield. Because you're trusting someone, he gives you that faith, that confidence to trust him. You take that shield of faith, and when the enemy comes from it, Stevie. And you grab you one of them swords over there. Just take one. Grab you one of the swords. Okay. Get you two. That's what the enemy gonna do. See, you ever think he come with one sword, he come with two swords. Amen. And one of the kids bent my sword. Straight my thing. Messing my toys up. Amen. All right. I'm not even having wars and stuff. Amen. That come down some Saturday play. But anyhow. But when that enemy comes at you, and we'll pretend like those are actually spiritual swords, and we have one, say this is a sword of anger. This one here is griping. That's a good one. Amen. He comes at you, and he comes at you with anger. You block it with faith. Now, if you don't block it with faith, when he hits you, then he's going to cut you. But when you block it with faith, the anger comes, you block it with the Word of God. And we block it with the shield of faith, and then you come back with the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about anger? I was just going to say, if anybody had a verse, say, man. Be angry and sin not. Okay, that one says get angry, but don't sin. Give me another verse. Somebody give me another verse on anger. Huh? Vengeance is mine. Okay, I'll tell you my message this morning. Somebody give me another verse. A soft answer. A soft answer turneth away wrath and what? Grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer. Husbands and wives. Moms and dads toward their children. What you want? Now, you know what you're training your child to do? The same thing as somebody else. What you want? Then everybody walk around the house. What you want? What you want? A soft answer turns away wrath. Amen. If you ain't careful, one day you'll be sleeping. They'll be standing over you with a sword. No. But you take that shield of faith and you block it and you come back with that scripture, the word of God. That's why it's so important to know the word of God. And the enemy will do his best to fight you on that word. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, you be seated, buddy. All right. Y'all hear me? I feel like I'm getting hoarse here. I don't know if I need more volume or not. That volume of volume. Amen. Look what it says here. So we see the weapons of our freedom. The Bible says for the weapons of our warfare, our military service are not carnal. But, I like this part, mighty through God. That word mighty right there, my friends, it means this. It means possible. It means capable. It means powerful. So in other words, he says this. He says, my dear friends, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. They are possible through God. It is possible to have freedom. Well, I'm going to always be this way. I'm going to always be just irritated at everything. Because this is in my DNA. I'm going to always be just aggravated by stuff. I'm just going to always just, it's just the way I, my daddy, my grandmama, man, they are always just like this. According to the Bible, it's possible. It's capable. The power is there. But it's not my own power. The Bible says it's through who? What does it say there? Through God. In other words, my dear friends, he gives me the power, he gives me the capability to be able, my dear friends, to have that freedom from whatever it is that has a hold of me. Look what he says again. He says this. He says, but mighty through God. And the last one I want to show you is this. Not only the war for freedom, the weapons of freedom, the possibility of freedom, but then we see the presence of freedom. The Bible says this. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's the presence of victory. That means those strongholds can be pulled down. Now watch what he says. This word here, pulled down, means demolition. It means extinction. It means also destruction. Now, all those sound to me, gone, baby, gone. Look at it again. He says this. He says, wait a minute. But mighty through God to the pulling down, the demolition, the extinction, the destruction of strongholds. And that word strongholds also means like a castle or a holding or a fortress. When we had our nights for Christ, and we stormed the castle. The enemy was behind there, but we were able to storm the castle. To get in and to rescue the princess. She came out with an attitude, but we rescued her. She wasn't know what took so long. Amen. But we rescued her. Amen. What that says is this. This is a very simple message. What that says is this. Whatever strongholds in my life, whatever castle, whatever fortress, whatever it is that has a hold of me, it can be demolished. It can be extinct. It can be destroyed. But only through God. That means I got to do it his way. The other day, Friday, I just wasn't feeling good Friday. I had stuff shooting everywhere, and I just wasn't feeling good. And so basically Friday was just a non-productive day. But at the close of that day, I said, man, I can't stay here. I can't stay in this place. So you know what I did? I believe the Lord put that in my mind. I grabbed my phone, and I had some sermons downloaded on there. I got my ear plugs, put my phone, and I listened to a message by Dr. Larry Brown. The message was what, somebody? Ain't nobody what? Ain't nobody like him. And I listened to that thing from around 9, maybe earlier than that, but 9, 10, somewhere around there, p.m. up until about 8 a.m. That sermon was going over and over and over and over again. What was I doing? I was trying to clear my head out of what was attacking my head. Because the enemy will attack your mind. He will attack your head. And I'm like, wait a minute. I know when I'm being attacked. And I said, well, I got to fill my mind up with some word. Reading the Bible was fine. But at that moment, singing, having good songs, that was fine. But what I needed at that moment was to saturate my mind, to overdose my mind with some preaching from God's word. And then, my dear friends, when I got up and I took that off, and then I got another sermon, and it was called The Sacrifice of Praise. That was the sermon that I heard about Dr. Craig Edwards when I first went down there to Victory Baptist Church on that Monday night. And when he preached on Monday, my voice was about like what it is right now. It was all gone from shouting, from crying, from weeping. And it was Monday. And I'm like, my soul, we got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to go. But the Lord took that message and helped me. You know what I did? And it's just like I was going through, and I saw that sermon, and I downloaded it onto my phone, and I put that on my ears and let that hit my mind, and then I filled my mind with that. And then on top of that, I went ahead and went to the gym, and while I was at the gym, I listened to that sermon being preached, and a couple of times I about yell and scream. They probably carried me out of there. But nonetheless, what was I doing? I was saturating my mind with that preaching of God's word. And I found another sermon. Just so happens, God knows what he's doing. Just so happened, it was the same sermon that was preached on that Tuesday night by Craig Edwards. I saw this and that, and I could, one of y'all said I heard it, but you hear me shouting in the background. Both of those sermons, and that meeting in itself, God used to help me. As a matter of fact, Josh, do me a favor, buddy, and go in my office. And I look on the top shelf, and you'll see a Bible, Thompson Chain Reference Bible, left side, right there, right in front of you. Look right in front of you. You see that Thompson Chain Reference Bible? There's a bunch of Bibles, a real big Bible sitting right there. You see it, buddy? It says Thompson Chain Reference. The biggest Bible on that shelf is toward me, toward the door. You see it? No, that ain't it. That's a good Bible, though. Right here. All right, no problem. Amen. You're still a good worker. Amen. In this Bible, I've got certain things written, certain things marked, events that God has used to help me in different areas of my life. And one of those I've got written down in here. It says May 8th through the 12th, 2006, Victory Baptist, Dr. Larry Brown, and in parentheses, it has one word. And that one word. It's freedom. Freedom. That week, God gave me freedom. That week, God gave me liberty that I had not experienced in such a long time. When I say freedom, my difference, I'm talking about freedom from the brethren. I'm talking about freedom from myself. I'm talking about freedom to worship God, to exalt God, to hear from God, be helped by God. And there's nothing like freedom. Nothing like freedom. But when your mind is enslaved, when your heart is enslaved, it's hard to do anything for God. But man, when you get that freedom, oh man, when you have that liberty to be able to worship God, to exalt God, to uplift His holy name, my dear friends, there's nothing like it in this entire world. There's no drug that can compare to it. There's nothing in this life that can compare to it. And some of us used to have that freedom. Some of us used to have that liberty. And some of us have never even experienced it. And I'm not talking about when you got saved, when you were, but that's a part of it. But I'm talking about going beyond that. When you're not so concerned about, well, what this one and who that one and all this, everybody ain't gonna like you. If you think everybody's gonna like you, you've lost your mind. Because they're not. I mean, I've got dear friends, but do you think we all agree on everything? No. But we're still friends. Everybody's not going to like everything that you do. But I'm going to tell you, when I got that freedom to worship God, to exalt, and it's almost like God was just taking me back down that memory lane. Because I mean, I just needed my mind to be clean, my mind to be free. And there's nothing like it. Because then you can breathe. And then all of a sudden, when you preach, you got liberty, freedom. When you sing, you got liberty, freedom. When you serve, you got liberty and freedom. It's not about a bunch of rules. See, it's different between rules and worship. See, when you have rules, you're like, well, is it right? I mean, I don't know. But we just worship at Him. Yeah. Then, my dear friends, ain't like you're fighting to be a certain way. You just like that. It's just okay. It's all right. You know? And then it might not match up with what somebody else likes. Because guess what? We all came from different backgrounds. There's nobody here that's from the same exact background. But what we do, my dear friends, is we try to take our preferences. And like the Bible says, teach them as God's doctrines, but they're not God's doctrines. They're ours. So, brother, you mean just run wild? No. When the Holy Spirit of God is guiding you. Somebody preached last night. Who's going to preach last night? Or was what I heard preaching? It was Craig Abbott. I can't wait till he gets here. But he preaching. And he was saying, you worship God. You hold your hands up and worship. Look up these words, man. Praise. When you're worshiping God, he says it's like you open up your hands and you're surrendering. He says it like this. It's like when the bad guy gets caught by the good guys and they said, hold your hands up. And you put the hands up, that's for surrender. That means they've given in. When you come to worship God, you say, Lord, I'm giving up and I'm giving in to you. In other words, what I'm doing is I'm giving my control over to you. So I'm not in control any longer. God, you're in control. So what he said was this, when God's in control, that means you're out of control. Y'all will catch that in a minute. When God's in control, you're out of control. And when you're out of control, there's somebody that will lead your life. You can have that peace, that liberty, and that freedom. Sometimes you hear a preacher pray, sometimes you hear me pray this. Lord, as I preach, give me liberty and freedom when I preach. Why is that? Because sometimes you can be preaching or serving God or singing, whatever it might be, and that end will jump on your back, and you'll be trying to do this for God, and you feel that restraint. You feel that hindrance. When you don't feel that hindrance, man, next thing you know, man, you'll be jumping in the pulpit and you'll be praising God. Well, praise God! Praise God! Folks, like, he's gone crazy. Now, if I try to do it in my own strength, man, I'd be like, oh, I'll still be up there, amen. What are you saying, preacher? I just want us to be free. Free from that hostility. Free from jealousy. Free from pride. You know, free from unforgiveness, free from whatever it might be, free. And then you come in the house of the Lord, you can't, listen, all they got to do is just hit one note, and you'll be like, oh, praise God. You won't be like, they know they can't play. They sang it all off key. So you ain't got no freedom and liberty, you become a critic. So a critic criticizes everything. You see how pastor mispronounced that word? Matter of fact, he used a double negative. He did a double conjunction. He did a whatever the words are. I mean, I don't even know them. Checking my adverbs and my adjectives and my pronouns and nouns. What are you saying? All of a sudden, you know, it. Now, Sharon, bless her heart. She be saying her little heart out, but she a little flat on that one little word. But when you come to worship, you ain't care about all this stuff. Because, man, you just hearing them songs, they just feeding you. They just feeding you. And you know what? When you're free with liberty, you can't wait to stay. Let me say it again. You can't wait to stay. Sometimes, though, we can't wait to get out. We're like, we're here. Preacher, I thought you were going to be done early, but no, he went on 12:30 now. I thought we were winding up. I was. I got started up. Amen. I got to preach an hour and a half. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? Simply this. We can have freedom from strongholds. It is possible. It's capable. Two questions and a thought. First question is this. What stronghold has you this morning? What stronghold has you this morning? Secondly, how are you fighting this battle? How are you fighting this stronghold? If you're trying to use your flesh to fight it, it ain't going to work. Then lastly, here's a thought. Victory can be received. Victory can be received. That is, if you want it. Now, do you want it? Just come get it. Father, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your beloved Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for dying upon the cross for our sins, but also being buried and, yes, sir, resurrected from the grave. And I pray, God, this morning as we come to worship, Lord, I pray that now as we come to pray, I pray, God, that you would continue to help us. There'll be some folks that's going to hit those altars. Some will be able to stand around those altars. But I pray, God, that as they bring their petitions before your holy throne, I pray, God, they not only feel your presence, but also, Father, I pray this, they would hear your voice as you speak to their hearts and speak peace into that situation that has them bogged down and overwhelmed. Let them know that victory will be experienced. All they got to do is trust you. And then, Lord, if there's one among us here this morning that's not sure of their salvation, they're not sure if they die today, they go to heaven, I pray, God, they slip out their seat, come up here and let me know. And, Father, we'll make those steps necessary to show them how they can know for sure that heaven is our next stop when they leave this earth. And for that, God, we'll praise you. Help somebody, because somebody needs your help. Of course, in your Son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.